The first act of Lohengrin is set in the Duchy of Brabant. Though part of modern Belgium, Brabant is ruled by King Henry I of Germany. The choice of King Henry was not an arbitrary one by Wagner. Henry, or Heinrich der Vogler as he was known, is considered to be the first king of Germany, having not only expelled the Hungarians, but united the warring German tribes in the late 9th and early 10th centuries. He was a great-great-grandson on his mother's side of Charlemagne, and it is not hard to figure out why a story about such a formidable German political figure appealed to Adolf Hitler. In Wagner's defence, the feeling could not have been mutual. The composer died 6 years before Hitler was born. Henry's mission in Brabant is twofold. First, he is there to assemble his troops for the final battle against the Hungarians. Second, he must settle a question of succession between Count Telramund, the regent for the underage Duke of Brabant, and the young duke's older sister, Elsa. The duke has gone missing, and Telramund accuses Elsa of having murdered him. Wagner came to loathe French grand opera, but he didn't get it entirely out of his system. However much this opinion was influenced by the failure of his own attempt at the form in 1843 with Tannhäuser, Lohengrin opens like the grandest. An enormous chorus of Brabantian nobles on one side, a horde of noble Saxons on the other, King Henry greets his loyal subjects on the banks of the River Scheldt. Telramund makes his accusation against Elsa in front of the king, namely that Elsa took her young brother into the woods one day and returned without him. Telramund concludes that Elsa murdered her brother, but he gives us perhaps a bit too much detail. Her actions so horrified me, Telramund explains, that I broke off our engagement and instead married Ortrud. At the same time, he accuses Elsa of rejecting him. King Henry must now name him, Telramund, rightful ruler of Brabant. The king is horrified and calls Elsa to appear for judgment. Elsa is not what we would be led to expect by Telramund's accusations. The music of her entrance is tender, the voices of the accompanying men's chorus subdued. When the king tenderly asks Elsa to defend herself against Telramund's accusation, she expresses sorrow over her poor brother. Once in a dream, she explains, she saw a wondrous, pure knight in shining armor. He will come to defend her. It may come as no surprise that this is the music of Lohengrin, Knight of the Holy Grail and title character of the opera. The king is so taken by Elsa's radiant innocence that he warns Telramund to consider carefully the accusation he has made. But Telramund is committed. He says the knight Elsa describes must be her secret lover, and challenges any man to fight him to prove Elsa's innocence or guilt. The idea of getting at justice through mortal combat has some basis in medieval European law, but more importantly, it is central to the troubadour myths from which Wagner derived the plot of Lohengrin. 19th century German nationalism drew its mythology from medieval Nordic and Arthurian legends, and this is the source for the story of Lohengrin. The Holy Grail, you may remember, was the chalice used to catch the blood from Christ's wounds on the cross. Taken off by St. Joseph after the resurrection, it eventually came under the guardianship of a circle of medieval Grail knights who themselves lost it through the sins of their leader, King Amfortas. The Grail is recovered by the knight Parsifal, or Percival in English, who goes on to have a son whom he names Lohengrin. Wagner didn't write his opera Parsifal until 1877, and I suppose we should be thankful he didn't work for Hollywood, or it would have had some title like Lohengrin Episode 1. Although Lohengrin is technically a Grail Knight because of his parentage, his story is not really about the Grail. The legend of the knight who arrives on a boat pulled by a swan has several antecedents. Of these, the best known is Wolfram von Eschenbach's mention of Lohengrin in his epic about Lohengrin's father Parsifal. The king orders his trumpeters to call forth the champions, but unfortunately Lohengrin is nowhere to be found. While we wait, there is another point that's worth mentioning. Somebody likes birds because they're everywhere in the story. Remember that I said that King Henry was known as Heinrich der Vogler? Vogler means fowler, in other words, someone who traps wild birds. Historically, the nickname came from a tradition that the messenger who came to tell Henry that he had been named king found him mending his bird nets, a sort of medieval Papageno. Parsifal is also a bird hunter, which we know because he shoots a swan in Act I of Wagner's final opera. This is a sin, and one for which the father spends his next two acts atoning. This point was not lost on the son, whose own interactions with the fauna are less murderous. Swans are symbols of purity. Lohengrin has not answered the king's call or the trumpeters. He is waiting for Elsa herself to call for him, and when she does, he appears, drawn in the famous swan boat.
Oh,
Now that's an entrance. Lohengrin offers to be Elsa's champion on one condition, actually two. The first is that if he wins, Elsa will marry him. The second is that she will never ask his name. Elsa promises, and the lovers embrace. Lohengrin, of course, knows that Elsa is innocent, and he now proclaims it to the assembled nobles. The king's herald sets the stage for the combat. The trumpeters blow their instruments, and the king strikes his sword on the ground to signal the beginning of the fight. Lohengrin defeats Telramund, but refuses to take his life. The act ends with all hailing the victorious knight.